I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I gotta give Anna credit. That's the best fake enthusiasm I've heard in a long time. Do you know the way she said that? It's the Steve Cochran Show. I look around this room, the five people I'm looking at right now, they're not half that excited. And think about it, Anna's still sleeping.
I don't know, I thought it was authentic.
Did you?
Authentic to me.
Nah, that's cute.
We're kind of still sleeping too, actually.
Yeah, why wake up? Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Oh, I forgot the part where we dance. All right, go ahead, crank it up. I think right about here.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
As usual, another big broadcast today. Bill Daley wants to be your next mayor. He'll join us this morning. Apparently, his energy's back up. That'll be about 7:40. 7:40? President Trump is scheduled to call. Boy, it's always trouble.
Always trouble.
Talk a little Laver Cup today. And Ro Khan will be on the show today. It's a big booking for us.
He's going to come in studio.
Nice.
It's great.
Always good to see him when he comes in studio because he dresses up. He dresses up because he's going to be on Windy City Live. That's why he comes in. So he's got the little pocket square, maybe a little ascot.
Wearing his Old Spice.
Got Old Spice.
Dave, you sit closer than I do. Is it Old Spice? What's you wearing? Like a Drakkar Noir?
I think it's more
high karate.
High karate. Yeah. Or Brute. It could be Brute.
Or Brute by Fabergé.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like a Dior guy.
Yeah. Maybe he uses Irish Spring soap.
Irish Spring soap.
It could be a strong soap. I agree. It might be a strong soap.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's all it needs. We have the top six for you. And, well, you know, why don't we do it right now?
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, giant bundles of marijuana. Over 100 pounds have been recovered along the Atlantic coast in the wake of Hurricane Florence. So what do you suppose that is? They're dumping them out of a plane and they're just out at sea? And then the hurricane blows them back ashore.
I think it's like a drug smuggler thing.
Yeah,
like a Glenn Frey song.
Like a Glenn Frey, Smuggler's Blues. It's got to be.
If the clouds are shooting out bales of marijuana, we're going to have a pretty cool time, I think.
All right,
you
so
you got hogs in the water and marijuana on the beach, right?
It's those Glenn Frey lyrics. Steve, you had a pot tip in the last hour. What was it?
Cannabis companies that are dealing with investments in marijuana and Coca-Cola is going with cannabis, looking at cannabis drinks, other companies as well, some of the beer companies. But
is there an index fund for this, like dot weed or something?
Yes, there is. I don't know it off the top of my head, but there is a weed index of stocks that you can go and look at. And some of them, the one we had on this morning, up nearly 600%
pretty
over
good
the last
Steve,
6 or 7
I
months,
read
so.
I read this weekend that it's big on the Canadian stock market. They went public with a lot of cannabis companies.
Weed funds.
But what's interesting is that because of the laws in the United States and the way these companies were, there was question of whether or not those makers, those cannabis companies, would be able to even come to the United States. There was a question.
Well, it's Canadian weed.
Yeah, but the Justice Department had some rule that said you would not be able to travel to the United States, and it was causing a lot of turbulence on the markets in Canada.
Oh, turbulence. Yeah. That's one of Abigail's words.
Abigail now says the word turbulence. Yes, at 2.5. She's a genius.
You know, and there's a lot of question, too, about whether or not, let's say, you and I invest in this and we make money, how is that? Is that going to be protected money from investors?
Well, you only make 2/3 as much money if you invest in Canadian weed, right? Isn't that the way it works? 2/3, 3/4, something
like
that?
You get the free health care.
The company, the company's name is Tilray, by the way. That's the one that's got 600%.
Tilray.
Tilray, T-I-L-R-A-Y. They had their second best day ever yesterday.
Every share, you get a can of Pringles.
If
you know that or not. Now, we've done this survey before on this show. I've never smoked weed, which, you know, is a shock to most of you. But I think everybody else on the show has, except for Dave, who's a dealer.
I have not smoked weed.
Oh, that's right. You were not at the same party I was at.
I was going to, but my dad said he had tried it and he preferred beer, so I probably would as well, and I just believed him.
And you preferred beer?
I do. I did at the time. Yeah. Now I don't like beer either.
So underage drinking was better than drugs.
Yes, that's what my dad pushed. That's what Dick Sandberg is.
My question is, as a
You're not getting out of the weed question.
I'll be upfront about it. I am a comedian by trade in my early 40s. There's no way to avoid it. But that's the question I had.
I'll take that as a yes.
How, as a stand-up in New York City and all over the place, I'm surprised it wasn't it wasn't all around you.
Oh, no, it was all around me.
Yeah,
I just didn't partake.
You were the clean.
I went home many nights with clothes smelling of it.
Not guys, please. If you could smoke, if you could blow the smoke somewhere else, guys. I'm a clean comic.
Listen, see. Here's the thing. That's the kind of painful thing that people say. When in fact, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. Just don't drive your car.
And you don't have to smoke it these days. It's as easy as a gummy bear.
Well, in my case, I'm looking for a salve. Yeah, some sort of salve or lotion I can put on.
Rub it on your chest like Vicks Vapor.
Well, more like the muscles, you know.
Or a pill. Yeah. We did the apple test, so maybe now we can get
weed
some
test?
Weed gummy bears or brownies or something.
Thought about that. Dave, you in on that?
No, sure.
We'd have to do 8 hours.
Can we get them sugar free?
Sure, absolutely.
We should do that on a Friday. Right. A Friday show,
buddy. Yeah. Gluten free,
sugar free, nut based free. So there's no allergies involved,
right, of course.
Next. ESPN tuned out of Brian Urlacher, either one. Brian Urlacher's halftime ceremony for their sponsored concert series.
Yeah. It was odd.
Producer says, yeah, that was a miss.
They blew it.
Yeah.
They admit it. I mean, you know, they should have carried it. I'm sure if it had been, I don't know, Eli Manning or Tom Brady or...
somebody from the coast.
Yeah, I think they probably would have made sure they were all over.
The most shocking thing about that to me was with 2 minutes to go and a half, he was still sitting in his luxury box.
Yeah.
I can tell you from doing stuff on the field or on the ice, they come and get you at like the end of the first. I don't know what he was doing.
Or was that taped? Because I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, you're such a broadcaster. He knows all the tricks.
He does. He's got all the inside stuff.
He knows all the tricks. Yeah, but they said the ratings were huge in Chicago, but not in the country, meaning nobody cared about the Bears or the Seahawks. So there is a question about if the ESPN is thinking about viewers in Texas, if they care about linebacker Brian Urlacher. They might not.
No, I could see why it wouldn't be a big game around the country.
But all hair transplant people probably care.
That's a huge market for ESPN.
But that's a great opportunity then for, say, the Bears website to stream it live or for...
Have the Bears website done it?
Yeah. Well, they didn't, the as right far side. As I know, but I'm just saying somebody could have stepped in and done it if ESPN was not going to do it. Would have been fun to see.
Yeah.
Well, it's over now. Next.
Too late.
The Van Dyke trial continues. The Van Dyke / Laquan McDonald, Van Dyke's partner testifying under immunity, says a shooting video doesn't accurately depict what he saw. Well, what did he see?
He said that the angle in which the video does not show accurately what they saw from the side, which was Laquan McDonald turning right towards him, his shoulder opening up with a stare in his eye. And they recognized the danger, the imminent danger, and that's why Jason Van Dyke fired. You don't see it in the tape from behind. They saw it as he turned right towards him. Now,
why was Van Dyke the only one to fire them?
That's the key. They said that because his partner Walsh on the stand said he felt that Jason Van Dyke had done it for both of them. That's essentially what he said.
Wow.
The idea that because Jason Van Dyke had fired, he had protected both he and Van Dyke's lives.
There was another
part. I don't know.
There was
under oath, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There was another part of the trial, too, yesterday that another officer testified he was about a minute away with a taser.
With the taser, which they were waiting on, right? That was why nobody had stopped him in the first place. Here's a question that I would like to ask Karen Conti, and I would ask everybody out there. The prosecution is showing different angles of different videos from businesses in the area, and they're making a case. But the big disputed video is from the Burger King that was actually right in front of where
this one got erased, right?
But this is the issue that they have on video. They show police coming into the Burger King and pointing at the camera and being like, hey, we need to... The thought is the manager said they wanted to see the tape, and when they came out, 25 minutes were deleted. Of the moment. That is not referenced in this trial at all, because I don't know if it's speculation because it's not there anymore, what the deal is, but that seems to be a looming...
Yeah, we do need to ask Karen
Conti. It's a very weird scenario,
and
obviously seems to be somewhat illegal. So,
next. Senate hearing scheduled for Monday in the Brett Kavanaugh mess for the Supreme Court. Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused Kavanaugh of assaulting her at a high school party more than 30 years ago, said through her attorneys she wants the FBI to investigate before she testified. New information has come forward this morning that says that that absolutely should happen. We'll talk about that coming up. He, of course, has categorically denied her accusation. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, among hundreds of Holden Arms alumni, that's the school that we're talking about from which these folks came, to sign a letter in support of Ford. Kavanaugh, I believe, is at an all-boys prep school called Georgetown Prep. Holden Arms is the school for Blasey Ford. Even though I think she was a couple years behind.
I think she was 79.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right?
Yeah.
79. Can you imagine somebody in high school in 79? That's crazy.
I didn't know.
Oh, that's right. I was a senior.
Yeah. Hello.
Some of us were in college.
But anyway, a couple of interesting points coming up from that. And you millennials, according to U.S. Census population estimate, 73% of West Loop residents are millennials. Just let that sink in. 73% of West Loop.
73%. Wow.
7 out of 10.
That's amazing.
That makes you grandpa over there.
There's a bar.
Don't you live over there?
I do. There's a bar at Lake and Morgan in the West Loop, right at the L stop there, where you can see them all line up for your perusal.
Them.
The millennials will stand in line for this Mexican restaurant/bar at all hours of the night, and where are these kids coming from?
Do you pull the curtain back just a little bit, look out, and go, "These damn kids, get out of here!"
This sidewalk is for everybody.
That's what I say.
For everybody. This is not your sidewalk.
Then you tell Miles, close the door. Yeah. We're not heating the whole neighborhood.
But that area has some of the best restaurants in the city.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's really two.
Wait a minute. If you go over there, you must be like Yoda.
No.
What is it with you this morning?
No, that's a tourist destination. That whole
7 out of 10 are millennials. If I go over there, they're going to think the feds have stopped by.
Well, that's probably
true. And all those restaurants, a lot of those restaurants are that classy, like, no reservations. So you have to go there, and it's like, it's a 3-hour wait.
Yeah, but that gives you a chance to talk and catch up.
When you're young, you don't mind waiting. Exactly. I used to wait at Nookie's when I was young.
So it actually gives you a chance to stand in line and text each other and text other people. Right. You don't actually talk to people.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, exactly. I'll wait, by the way. I'll wait up to 5 minutes for a table. That's the kind of patience I have.
We should take you over to Au Cheval on
next. Ranch dressing. You like it? Yes, invented in the 50s. It. Ranch is now far and away the most popular salad dressing in the country.
Oh, I consumed some last night.
It's my number one.
Paul Newman.
Wait, do you have ranch? Ranch isn't healthy.
It's a low-fat ranch.
If they dip it in carrots.
Any cream-based is not healthy, my friend.
Where does the fat-free balsamic vinaigrette fall?
I believe just above dead last. Yeah.
Sometimes I make fresh bacon and just pour ranch dressing on it and eat the bacon with ranch dressing.
I think I love Dave more than ever now that he's eating crappy ranch dressing.
It's not crappy ranch dressing.
Okay.
I think I'm more interested in Grisanich's. I eat bacon with ranch dressing on top of it.
Well, Steve's friend, I tried to gloss over that.
Wow.
The nearest competitor's Italian, came in at 10%. The ranch dressing folks, a big, big winner here. And it's a routine dip for what? Chicken wings, baby carrots, French fries, tortilla chips, mozzarella sticks, or bacon. I just want to take some bacon and just dip it right in there.
There you go.
There's a pizza restaurant in Lake Bluff called The Silo, which is amazing, and it has the best homemade ranch dressing. It's very light and frothy. It's not like dense cream. It is
light and frothy.
What does that mean?
Someone's watching too much of the Food Network.
You can see like bubbles in it because it's so light, and you would like dip your elbow in it and eat it. It's like so good. So.
Well, I've got a very tasty elbow. I don't deny that. That's your top 6 and 6.
That's all today for the top 6 and 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Dave, by the way, just got a text. If anyone makes an indie run, Puccini's Pizza has a homemade ranch that's insane. That's from a helpful texter in the 317.
Indianapolis?
In Indiana.
Oh, Indiana.
Yeah, well, sounds like it's going to be a homemade ranch kind of show today.
Mm-hmm.
Are we tasting ranch dressing?
Just a homemade.
We're all going to dip our elbows in and go for it.
Nice.
The Steve Cochran Show continues 6:29. We only got a couple of minutes here. United Airlines is launching a new boarding process, so I don't know that if you're flying today, it's going to matter. But it will matter soon
enough. I'm flying that airline today.
Do you know about this?
I did get an email about it. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Saddle up to your gate for your next United flight. Might notice there's a different system in place.
Okay.
Chicago-based United Airlines has updated its boarding process to rely on fewer boarding lanes. Because I don't know if you know the current system. It's 37 lanes.
Yes.
So if you get a 37 on your boarding pass, it's really not good news. Yeah, can we agree as
so they're just going back to the 80s?
Can we agree as a civilized society, before I continue, that your overhead compartment needs to be within reach of your seat?
Yeah. Yes.
It could be front, back, or right over your head. But you don't get on a plane, put your overhead bag in row 7, and then walk back to 27. You don't.
And you don't bring a steamer trunk on the plane either.
No.
This is the kind of stuff that Donald Trump should be tweeting about.
If you need assistance to put your overhead bag in, you're younger than Betty White, then you shouldn't bring it.
That's Big O's rule, right? He will not assist anyone with their... If you can't handle it yourself, you shouldn't bring it on the plane.
Right. United Airlines has updated the boarding process. New one has been in the works for months. Different boarding procedures, handful of test gates here and there. They finally decided what they want to go with. The airline will start having 5 boarding groups, but will only use 2 lanes for boarding.
Is there a written test?
Yes. And a secret handshake.
You're supposed to remain seated until your group is called.
And no talking.
Oh, that's good. That's
no talking and remain seated. Right.
I don't get those hoverers anyway that stand there waiting for their... It's like, relax. We're all going to end up on a plane. So you know?
You're all going to stand on the jetway.
Yeah. Anthropologists will look back on history and be like, what a weird thing humans do.
But I think that's part of the problem is because of the overhead space. I think that's why people are so anxious to get on a plane.
I don't bring anything on a plane because I don't like to be part of that mass nuttiness.
You don't even bring Pat, do you?
Barely,
Elite and other priority passengers in Group 1 and 2 will load through Lane 1, while customers in Group 3, 4, and 5 will use Lane 2 and be mocked by those in Lane 1.
I'm in Group 3.
Yes. Those not actively boarding will ask to remain seated until paged. Remember pagers? That's the overhead thing with the microphones.
They still have those.
Do you go up to the counter and they give you a pager?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah. Now, if you have a Chase United credit card, you can board in Group 2. Hello.
Oh.
Hello. And that's not just United trying to sell credit cards.
No,
of course not.
No.
The cool part of this story, too, is that if you have the app, you will also get notifications on your app. So if you're away from the gate, or if they decide to board early or something like that, you'll get a notification on your app, which is kind of cool, actually.
You should download the app anyway. It's easy. And it will tell you if you're one of the unwashed who has to wait before you board. Can you imagine being in Group 5? Why even get on the plane?
What did you say to the pond when you bent over? I told him that the ambulance was on the way and that I hear it in the distance.
And the pond did not respond to that, correct?
No, he didn't.
Did you continue to hear the gasping or gurgling coming from the body of the
pond?
No, it stopped shortly after.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Part of the horrible testimony that goes with the murder trial, and a high-profile murder trial where that information gets released to the public. Karen Conti, Sunday nights on WGN, and joins us pretty much every Wednesday, unless she's world traveling. I know you've done a million of those, but it just never gets comfortable to hear that kind of testimony.
Absolutely, and that's what the prosecution is counting on. I mean, they do have to put that evidence in, but they're trying to inflame the jury. They're trying to make it, as horrible as possible so that there's sympathy and passion, and that's what the prosecution wants to do, and they're doing a pretty good job of it.
We were talking about this earlier, different angles from different cameras, and Van Dyke's partner saying that he fired the shots, he feels, to protect both of them, and the general public hasn't seen those angles, so they don't know what we saw, that Laquan had turned towards them and looked like he was reaching for something. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, it's very interesting. Yeah, this testimony by the partner was really, really helpful to Van Dyke. Interestingly, this is the witness who was called by the prosecution. Yeah. So the prosecution calls the partner, Van Dyke's partner, and he says some things that, yes, I didn't shoot, but on cross-examination, he said a number of things. He said, this kid was not walking. He was running and trotting, and you can't really see it from the video, but he continued to run. That's a big deal because when people are running, they can cross a lot of territory in a very quick period period of time, and that goes to the idea if there was a reasonable belief that he was going to hurt them. Number two, he said that the kid kind of took his hand and he raised it and he kind of put his hand like shoulder length and kind of faced Van Dyke and the partner. You can't really see that from the videotape, but in my view, you can't really rule it out because you can't really see what he's doing from the videotape because it's behind. And what was interesting, Walsh, the partner, said that he himself pulled his gun. He didn't use it, he didn't shoot it, but he pulled it, and he said he would have shot, but for the fact that Van Dyke was in the crosshair. So this is a guy who's basically saying that there was a reasonable belief that this kid was harmful and might harm other people. And this is what we need for reasonable doubt in the prosecution. This is the prosecution's witness who's testifying basically in favor of Van Dyke.
Yeah, that's a bad day. That's a bad start.
And Karen, I read that the other officers, some of the officers that filled out conflicting reports after the scene and have been caught as well in the crosshairs of the Cook County prosecutor in terms of false records, things like that. They'd be better off by just using their testimony from before, from their trial, as opposed to bringing them in, because they're just going to plead the fifth or not go to trial at all.
Well, a few of them have gotten immunity from the prosecution, meaning the prosecution has agreed not to prosecute them for their testimony at trial. And much of the testimony, much of the witnesses, the few police officers who wrote up those reports, were basically charged with obstruction of justice because there was a determination that those were lies. Now they're in a situation where they're getting up on the stand, the prosecution of giving them immunity, and they're trying to save their butts. I mean, they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to leave their families. Right. And so they're really inclined to testify for the prosecution, as was Officer Walsh, but he testified pretty clearly in favor of Van Dyke, in my view.
But aren't they, at a certain point, aren't they all going to do that? I mean, aren't they all going to stick their stories to make it the because they're also on trial. Even though they got immunity, they're also implicated in this situation.
Well, at this point, my view would be that because the prosecution, it's a business deal. Prosecution said, if you want to stay out of jail, testify and make it good. Okay, they don't say lie. They say tell the truth, but tell the real truth and tell the absolute truth, and we'll give you a break. But let's see how you do at trial. So they're under a lot of scrutiny by the prosecution.
I see. Okay.
Because they haven't cut their deal yet. They haven't gotten a deal. They don't know if they're going to be out, but they're really going to be inclined to help the prosecution because they don't want to go to jail. As much as they like their fellow officer and they want to stick up for the police in general, they don't want to go to jail. So even though Walsh was inclined to help the prosecution, he really didn't.
Let's go inside the jury room now, okay? This is a piece of a considerable piece of reasonable doubt that could fall that way. Do you need more than one?
You really don't. Of course, it helps. But when you have one officer, and he was a very seasoned officer, he was the partner of Van Dyke, he was under an immunity agreement to testify truthfully for the prosecution, and he said, I would have shot had Van Dyke not been there. I pulled out my gun. I reasonably believe that this kid was a danger to other people. He was walking toward crowded restaurants. He was acting crazy. He had a knife in his hand. He turned toward us. This is a person who's not on the witness stand. He's not Van Dyke, because Van Dyke will say anything, right? The jury's going to say he'll say anything to get off this crime. But when you have an officer like this who's testifying, showing that there's reasonable doubt here, I think that's all you need. I mean, if the juror's listening and they're going to apply the law, which right. I have every confidence that they will.
Karen, there was a lot of talk about heading towards crowded restaurants. One of those restaurants is the Burger King that is right there on, I believe it's on Pulaski. The thought, they're showing different angles, the prosecution using different cameras from different businesses to give us a better understanding of beyond what we see in that tape. But there's still that question at Burger King of the idea that there is missing time there, that there was, you could probably get a really good indication of what happened from their security footage, but it was deleted or it just disappeared. Does the prosecution, can they bring that up? Is that part of this discussion, or is that just something that everyone has to live with?
There has to be some evidence that someone tampered with it. So if you're saying, do you say, hey, you know, the police must have tampered with it, they must have deleted it. You can't just say that. You've got to have evidence of it. And this judge is very tough, and he's not going to allow any evidence that's not absolutely pointing to the police, you know, basically doctoring this up.
So essentially the prosecution can't use that.
No. There's evidence that the police did something to cover it up.
Right.
How long do you expect both sides to go?
I thought this was going to be a longer trial, but boy, this judge is moving things very quickly. I don't know exactly how many witnesses they have, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're wrapping it up either late this week or early next week.
Stand by. I want to ask you about the Brett Kavanaugh thing. Steve Cochran Show continues. Thanks for listening. As always, Karen Conti is with us. What's the number at the office, Karen?
You can always call me at 312-332-7800, or you can email me at WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
There's a couple of federal prosecutors, former federal prosecutors, making the rounds on CNN, MSNBC, and other places this morning, talking about the Brett Kavanaugh situation and the woman who is accusing him of sexual assault when they were in high school. Several questions here, but their point is the FBI can absolutely go back and look at this again because they have what amounts to new information on a background check, which means they have an unfinished file. So it doesn't have to be a criminal offense to finish their job jurisdictionally for doing background checks. They have a full right to go back and do that, and they don't need the president's approval to do that. We'll see if that plays out that way. But the second piece of information, which is interesting, and you know the Supreme Court, is one of the reasons the Republicans would like to shove this through as fast as possible is not just to get Kavanaugh on the court, but because the docket has been front-loaded by Chief Justice Roberts with a number of cases that could be tipped in a conservative-leaning verdict manner that could change laws in this country for a generation or longer that would be favorable to those who believe that a conservative-leaning court can do anything conservatives want. What sort of stock do you put in either one of those points?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is all political. This goes beyond legal. This is now political, and it's just a chess game. And, you know, there's, the thing is a little bit disturbing. On the other hand, I mean, there's so many layers of this, Steve. There's the politics of this, and then there's the idea of the Me Too movement, and, you know, why didn't she come forward? And does it matter? Does a kid who's 17 who does something bad, let's just say he did it. Let's just assume that he did every last thing that she said. You know, do we forgive a 17-year-old boy who's drunk at a party for doing that when he becomes a Supreme Court justice? Or, you know, if he were 35, would it matter? Yes, probably. When he's 17, I don't know. People have children who are 17. Would you want your son to have a second chance? You know, I'm no fan of his politics. Let's just get that straight. But on the other hand, I feel like maybe we need to investigate this. If there's a finding that he did it, then let's just move on and vote.
Yeah, and I would add too that the issue, and this might be a legal issue as well, Karen. A lot of supporters of Kavanaugh say that exact thing. Why make, you know, something that happened when you were in high school? How can that?
Well, here's why it matters, because it's a Supreme Court seat. It's not like what you did at 17 or what I did at 17.
Absolutely agree with that. But the judge himself is denying that it ever happened, and this is where I think it gets that there is a call for an investigation, because if it's found to be proven, then you have a nomination for the Supreme Court who is lying under oath.
I agree with you. That's a really good point. And I think that's probably a stronger point than anything else that's going on right now. And it is disturbing. And listen, you're right. You know, none of us has run for office for good reason. You don't want your life scrutinized, but this is what you go through these days when you want to be a Supreme Court justice. Same as when you're running for an office. Every last thing you've ever done will come to haunt you.
So this woman, to give her her due, if she is lying over the course of an FBI investigation, that could be determined. Or if she is her story is doubtful, it could be determined that, you know, she brought something out that really doesn't have a lot of basis to it. So my point is she's putting a lot of risk out there as well. She didn't ask for the risk. The leaks led to her name being released. Her name being released has led to her family now going into hiding because they're concerned about their own safety because people are threatening their lives online. So why do we have to do this Monday? What's the big hurry? The only hurry is political.
and this is such a parallel to the Anita Hill thing. And interestingly, I was in Washington when some of those hearings were going on, and she was just getting so grilled. And to this day, I think she's demonized when she was just telling the truth, and she didn't even come forward. It was brought to the attention that there were these allegations, and she was dragged into court and dragged into the hearings and had to testify. This woman, you know, people are saying, oh, she's political, she's making this up to block, whatever. And of course, that's a possibility. But my guess is that something happened, and she just feels very strongly that she was going to keep it to herself to her dying day, but this guy is now going to sit in one of the highest offices in the country, and she feels a moral obligation to at least explain what happened. So, you know, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, and I don't have any reason to believe, why would she make this up, really?
It's very specific, and she didn't ask to be made public. It became public, so...
And she's a professor, not to say that professors don't lie, but she's a very educated, you know, she's achieved a lot in her life, and she's got a lot to risk and a lot to lose. And I guess I would tend to believe her, but I tend to believe women who say that these things happened.
And by the way, the Democrats aren't off the hook here. If the shoe were on the other foot, they'd be playing this the exact way the Republicans are.
Yeah.
Of course.
So that's the politics of it, but people's lives are hanging in the balance here, and it's not just about Kavanaugh's career or career trajectory, which means between now and Monday, regardless of the FBI getting involved, there's a lot of great reporters in this country who may overturn stuff that tips the scales in favor of the Republicans going, thanks, Mr. Kavanaugh, we're going to move on. The problem with moving on is they don't have time to get somebody in before Election Day or even before the end of the year.
Right. And just one quick thing. There's this thing, and when you're a judge, it's called you have to avoid impropriety, but you also have to avoid the appearance of impropriety. And when you have someone who's making these decisions for women, maybe abortion, maybe all kinds of things, if he's tainted, that is going to impact the, I guess I want to say, the impact of these kinds of decisions. If you have someone sitting on the court who you believe attempted to assault a woman,
right,
then that's going to take away from the, the authority, if you will, of any decision. So we have to add that to it as well.
Other than that, things are smooth. Just running perfectly. Thank you, Karen Conti. Sunday night on the radio?
From 7 to 9, except we're preempted this week, so I'm going to store it up and do it next week.
All right, store that thing up. Good luck to you. That's Karen Conti. And coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
714, the Steve Cochran Show. And I'm expecting a call any minute now. Any minute now from the President of the United States.
Does his weekly check-in.
Yeah, and it always makes me a little bit nervous because I think we all know how I feel about him. This could be him right now. Let me make sure it's his ring because we have this signal where that's two.
It sounds like you're calling him.
No, this is an incoming call, Dave. You don't have the same experience I have with call sound effects, obviously.
That's how they do it at the White House.
Here, let me grab this. Let me just give it one more. Let's go. Hello, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran.
Yes.
Listen, that was good, by the way. Theater of the mind. You know, before we start, I'd like to wish a happy Hispanic Heritage Month to all my Latino friends.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, my only Latino friend, Jorge. Mm-hmm. The doorman at Trump Tower.
Yeah.
His American name is George, but he calls himself Jorge. Because of the G or the J, I guess, is tremendously silent. Yes. So one of the weird rules from the Mexican language, apparently. No J sound.
No J sound. Got to say, that's not our top topic, but since you're always on a tight schedule, are you headed for North Carolina? Are you going to take a look at the damage from Florence?
Yes, tremendously big storm, Cochran, and tremendously wet, you know, because of all the very wet water.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Big and wet, like Rosie O'Donnell on a treadmill after less than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Listen, the big news of the week, and I think you know what I'm talking about,
I know,
sir.
Where you're going with this, Cochran. And in all fairness, I have nothing but respect for Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie being gay, okay? VP Pence, not so much. He wants to send him to Muppet conversion camp.
I was actually not speaking of that. I wanted to talk about Brett Kavanaugh.
You know what? I'm glad you asked about this, because my legal team told me to completely steer clear of the entire story. So let's get into it.
Right, of course. Kavanaugh facing a sexual assault allegation from a woman in California goes back to his high school days. Is this going to jeopardize his confirmation? You must be worried.
Well, he's Catholic, so in a sense, he's already confirmed. See what I did there?
Yes, yes, I did.
Look,
yes.
These allegations, if they turn out to be true, and I hope they're not, somebody is getting fired for me recommending Kavanaugh.
Sure.
That I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Look, I will say this. Brett Kavanaugh is the least sexual person that I've ever met, other than Mike Pence. Isn't that right, Mike?
It's barely on my radar, sir. I'm so glad Jesus sent the stork, or we'd never have our children.
You're really missing out, Mike.
Well, funny, that's what Mother says.
Look, the economy is huge. We have nothing to worry about with Kavanaugh. Unemployment's historically low. Uh-huh. Everyone has a job. Uh-huh. Everyone. Except Crooked Hillary. That's why she has to keep hawking her stupid book.
Hey, speaking of Hillary, she just blasted you in a new essay. Said you launched 5 major assaults on democracy.
Absolutely ridiculous. Let me tell you something. Every one of those 5 moves I made against democracy was completely consensual. That I can tell you. And by the way, why is no one commenting on how incredibly racist this woman is?
Yes.
She said, essay? How offensive is that? Everyone knows when you're talking about Mexicans and Latinos, especially during Hispanic Heritage Month, you never say essay. You call them vato locos.
I don't think that's
Look,
good.
This Crooked Hillary stuff is boring. Call me back when Tom Arnold gets in another fight with Mark Burnett, okay?
Well, thanks for calling, President Trump. I appreciate your time.
Later, Cochran.
Yeah, goodbye. That's President Trump. And a Spanish lesson. Right there in the middle. I was like when Mike Pence is on the call.
That's so good.
Yeah, the vice president, when he joins him.
You just love it that they're in the same room.
Kind of right. Makes you
so
feel
close.
Good about the leadership. Yeah, yeah, right? Don't you think? Yeah, yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 7:23. Our thoughts continue to be with the people of North Carolina dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Florence, because it's not over. As a matter of fact, for some parts of the state, the worst is this week. The flooding is crazy. I mean, you Google Florida flooding, or I should say North Carolina flooding photos, and you'll see sure. How massive it is. It's crazy. There are still towns completely cut off, and as these rivers continue to flow downstream, that water's got to go somewhere, and therein lies the problem. One of the people that's emerged from this is our most valuable person on the planet for Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. He's shirtless Florida guy, Lane Pittman,
yeah,
who joins us now. Good morning, Lane.
What up, guys? What up? How are y'all doing?
We're doing just fine. You're a UNF graduate, right?
I am, University of North Florida. Swoop.
And at what point did you say, I got to go help people?
You know, I had a GoFundMe pop off that I started up on Friday, and there's just an excess, a heavy excess of money that I didn't ask for. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I just, you know, I've kind of put it out there to the donors, like, what do y'all think I should do? And a majority of them said just get a bunch of supplies and head up and see what you can do. So that's where I'm at right now.
Now, here is the quote of the day, if not the quote of the year. Here it is. This is Lane. Somebody gave me the idea to just go out there, just be free and have a great time. And I said, that sounds pretty sweet, but I got to have a good song to go with it. And Raining Blood by Slayer is the ultimate song for fighting hurricanes.
Absolutely.
For sure. That's right. I mean, I don't know what else you fight hurricanes to. I mean, it's got to be raining blood. I mean, come on.
You are a viral sensation already. I think it was Hurricane Matthew, where you were headbanging shirtlessly, and everybody saw it, and it was a big deal to see how you took on the hurricane. So is that your plan? Are you going into Florence and the rains and the flood, and are you just going to headbang against it?
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot, that was the end game anyways. I mean, I was like, all right, I'm just going to find out where, like, it's starting to get gnarly and just go out, fight it, and freaking put it on for my people. Be as American as I can be.
Hey, Lane, before you started fighting Hurricane Matthew, did you do a lot of research to find out that being shirtless was the best way to attack a hurricane?
Well, you know, seeing as I have such a masculine chest, I better go and flex in front of that hurricane, you know what I'm saying? So that's
intimidation factor.
Clear sign of intimidation and being an apex predator, so.
Right, and I thought your quote on social media was solid with the video. The caption was, you are, in caps now, in all caps, you are weak and small, Florence. Florida man is here.
That's right.
Do you have parents? Lugia Lane, do you have parents? Do you have family?
Yeah, I got family. Yeah, what's up?
What did they think of this?
Oh, dude, my dad actually was the one that shot the Hurricane Matthew video. So I mean, like, wow. They're full supportive of it. Like, they think it's super funny and cool. So. Yeah, they prayed over me before I came up here to North Carolina, nice. Helping people out, and you know, they backed me 110%. Yep.
And who have you helped? I mean, you got a story you want to tell me about? Just anybody in particular?
We're actually on our way to the job site. We haven't got here yet. I drove up from Jacksonville, Florida, last night around 6 o'clock or so, and I got here at like 1:30 in the morning. There's a lot of like closed roads and stuff, so my GPS was taking me all over the place. But yeah, we woke up at like 6:30, 6 o'clock, and we're on our way to the site now.
And with site, what are you going to do when you get to the site?
You know, I don't know. Quite frankly, this is all really new to me. I linked up with a buddy that I met kind of on Facebook, and he's with A1E Group Disaster Relief. And so I pretty much just swapped over all of my – I bogged down my Subaru, first of all. Like, I was riding so dirty up 95. And I swapped over all the supplies over into their truck, and we're going to load it onto their – they call it the General. They have this big old, like, military truck that they're taking
over. Yeah, there you go.
And pretty much we can get through the flood water with it and stuff, so that's what we're going to be doing. I guess passing out supplies.
There you go.
I think it's just like a technically a humanitarian effort right now, so we're going to be doing a lot of that today.
All right, now before we let you go, I can't help but notice in every photo I see of you, you're not wearing shoes. I really have to recommend footwear for this mission.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm even still underprepared as far as footwear goes. I got some Nikes on, and everyone else is probably wearing like steel toe boots and stuff. Yeah. Actually, I showed up with no jeans. I had shorts and an American flag tank top, and my buddy Steve was like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to get you something else, buddy."
Swing by a Target if you can find one that's open. You can grab some clothes, will you? Come on, man.
Yeah, we hit Walmart. That's
where
we got
it
for.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
Listen, I don't care what people, what flack people might throw at you. You're doing it. You're out there and you're helping people, and you're an entertaining guy, but you're doing a good thing for people. So we salute you, Lane Pittman.
Hurricane fighter, Lane.
Thanks,
Pittman.
Y'all. I appreciate it. It's trying to do the Lord's work.
Well, that's it. Thanks, that's it. I'm trying not to giggle when you say that. That's Lane Pittman. The most valuable person on the planet. Now, Dave, I'm going to need a translation here. I bogged down my Subaru, rode dirty up 95. What exactly does that mean, Dave?
That means he loaded up his Subaru with everything
with
he could fit in it, filled it up, and then headed up. Interstate 95 runs from the tip of South Florida pretty much all the way up the East Coast, past New York.
And, yes. You know. But riding dirty, what
riding
does that
dirty
mean?
Well, because, you know, if you've been down there, you're going into a storm.
Oh, so it means literally the car's dirty.
Yeah,
you're
not
going
to take
license.
The time to take it through a car wash.
And when it's all packed with stuff he probably can't see, it probably makes it, you know,
a lot of ways
dangerous,
that could go.
Dirty.
I think riding dirty can mean
a lot. Isn't riding dirty
things.
A song lyric?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think chameleonaire.
Why don't you guys go ahead and look that up on the Urban Dictionary and see what riding dirty means.
So he aggressively headbanged against Hurricane Matthew.
It's like talking to Beavis.
I know. And then, and now, but what I like about it is that the second showdown, he's not going there to headbang. He's going to help. He's going to
absolutely
supplies and take the goodwill to the people.
I can't wait for Dave to look up these descriptions.
Wait a minute.
Riding dirty.
That's not what
different.
I thought it meant.
Can you tell
According
us what
According to
meant?
The Urban Dick, driving with an expired, suspended, or revoked license.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Driving a vehicle with expired tags or failed inspection. Driving a stolen vehicle. Driving with unregistered guns in the vehicle.
That doesn't sound like Lane.
Driving
that
while intoxicated or under the influence. Driving with illegal drugs, controlled substances in a vehicle.
I don't think the last part applies.
Well, I don't think
the marijuana has been washing up on the shores of Florida, so maybe he just...
We're not saying that's why Lane's going.
No, he might have picked some up in Florida.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To bring it back.
Okay. Oh, to bring it back to the authorities.
And hence, riding dirty. Right.
You got to isolate that laugh for me. You can use that laugh over and over again. I mean, seriously, it's Beavis. Or is it Butthead? Well, it's both. It's 7:30 is what it is. Headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's 7:41 now, and Bill Daley is now running for mayor of Chicago. His track record and his resume is very impressive in and of itself. And, of course, having the last name Daley doesn't hurt. So we are glad to have him on the program in the middle of a media blitz that's gone on all week. Good morning, Mr. Daley.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. I played golf with our mutual friend Eric Adelstein the other day, and he told me a lot of great stories about the two of you that I'd like to tell on the air, but I think your campaign might be over if
I better get hold of Eric real quick. What's he doing talking to people about? He's a good guy. Very good guy.
All right. So you're in. What was the decision factor? What tipped it for you?
Look, obviously, the mayor announced he wasn't going to run, which surprised a lot of people, surprised me, as I think it did the city. I've spent my life living in this city. Like so many people love the city, whole families here, all that stuff, which is important. But also watch the city that has lots of issues and problems. And I think I can add something to the discussion. I think if I have the honor of being the mayor of the city of Chicago, I think I can help move the city forward on a whole bunch of issues, from crime and development in some of our neighborhoods that are really lacking, and also trying to help the affordability of living in this city. I've spent a life mostly in the private sector, not public, but I think I've got a unique understanding of both, and hopefully I can bring that. And one of the things I pride myself on and tried to do in both private sector and government was be someone who could try to build a consensus and listen to people, which is paramount if you want to be the mayor. Sure. Lots of politicians have all the answers. I think it's important we listen to people and listen to them tell us what they want or expect from their leaders.
Crazy idea. right. You're on Last Week Tonight. I want to get to those specifics, obviously, but you're on Last Week Tonight. Not Last Week Tonight. You're on Chicago Tonight. Sorry, I got John Oliver on the brain. You were on Chicago Tonight, and Carol Marine brought up the question that was asked of Mayor Emanuel, is the next mayor in the race yet? I was the guy that asked him that question. Oh. His answer was, yeah, you wouldn't know because Carol didn't say it. The point of the question being this, did Rahm Emanuel, does the mayor call you and say, I want to help you get there?
No. I called him. I hadn't talked to him in a while. I called him to wish he and Amy well. I've known him, obviously.
Sure.
I considered him a friend. We have had our differences, like all long-term friendships. But no, he didn't call me. And there are lots of people, at least if you read the papers and listen to the radio, there are a lot of people that are going to get in this race. So the field is still evolving. And that's a good thing for the city. You know, there it isn't often that you have open mayoralties. So it's a opportunity for people in Chicago to listen to lots of people and engage them. And for a lot of people who have an interest in being mayor, and I look at those of us who have been around politics, being the mayor of Chicago is in many people's minds a lot better than being president or other jobs, because it's an opportunity to really help people, and that you're right there. Can't run to Washington, can't run to Springfield. You're here in the city that you
every
lead.
Day.
Every day. And your problems are there, and you got to help solve them every day. That's what it's about.
Chicago, Mr. Daley, Chicago has had a member of your family as mayor for over half of a century. Does the name Daley, does it help or hinder you? Because we do live in a post-Daley Chicago where a lot has been made by media and a lot has been made by opponents of your brother about where Chicago's at right now and where it needs to go. Does the name Daley help or hinder you in this case?
You know, Steve, it helps me in some ways. People come up to me, you know, all the time making a comment about Rich's tenure or my dad's even, not too many left. My dad's been dead for 40 years, so that's getting a shrinking group. But say nice things. And there are other people, obviously, who, for whatever reason, didn't like him, didn't think he did a good job. So I don't know how it cuts. We'll find out, obviously, in election. But I think all I'm asking for is people to listen to me, engage Bill Daley, not Richard M., Richard J., whatever, and see if they think I can bring something to help them and help the city over the next 4 years. That's all I can ask, and that's all I would hope. But, you know, somebody else will make a judgment as to whether the name is good, bad, or indifferent. I'm proud of my name. I'm proud of what my family members have tried to do in the city. I'm not going to change it, that's for sure.
Sure.
And
well, that'd be weird if you did that now. That'd be kind of odd.
What would I change it to? Cochran or something?
Yeah, that would. I wouldn't. Honestly, I wouldn't recommend that. Let me get Sandberg and Justin back in here. Sandberg,
why now? You know, the opportunity was out there before for you to run. What about this time makes it the right time for you?
Well, I wasn't going to run for mayor after my brother spent umpteen years there. I thought, let's give a break. Let somebody else do it. And there was a competitive race at 11 after he left. I was doing other things. I had the honor, obviously, of becoming chief of staff to President Obama in a very difficult year of 2011. So that was not only an honor, it was a challenge and an opportunity. So I've had a life outside of, I've never run for office in a serious way. And I saw this opening and said to myself, I think at this stage of my life, I've been lucky. I hopefully could give something back to the city in a serious way over the next 4 years if voters decide that I'm the one that can do that. And, you know, it was really just a decision that was not easy because I know the pressures of this sort of stuff and the difficulties, and quite frankly, the difficulties of the campaigning today in this new world and the angst that goes with that. But, you know, if you want to do something that you be meaningful, positive, it's going to take an effort, and I'm willing to do it. And as I say, I've been fortunate in life, and I'm at a stage in my life that I want to give something back. I was born here, and I plan to be here forever, and all my kids and grandkids and siblings are all here. So hopefully voters will decide that I can help them solve and be part of solving some of these tough problems.
The former mayor, Richie, is not just the former mayor. He's your brother. What did he say when you told him you were doing this?
His attitude on Rich is pretty basic. If you want to do it, just do it. Just get in it, do it. Don't think about it. Don't poll. Don't do this. Don't do that. If this is what you want to do, and he knows that being around in public service, which I've done, is important to me, and is it important to other people in my family? That if you do it, that was his whole advice. If you're going to do it, just get in and do it. Don't think about it. Rich, you know?
There are some big issues facing the city of Chicago. One of them, a fiscal cliff that's coming up here in 2020. But the big issue that is a national story is violence in the city of Chicago, which doesn't seem to be letting up, and it seems to be getting worse. What's your approach to curbing violence and stemming the tide of what we've seen with gun violence here in Chicago?
Everything else right now flows from trying to bring safety to every community. You know, for a while there, people were saying, oh, this is isolated in a few communities. The fear of crime right now, and listening to the radio, watching reading the papers, watching television, that is throughout the city. So this is a citywide issue. This is no longer kind of isolated. It's complex, no doubt about it. We've got to have opportunities in some of these communities for jobs, for young people. I have an alternative to this life. But as importantly as anything else, right now we've got to support the men and women of the police department who are out there day in and day out. I think they feel right now that there's maybe a lack of support in some communities for reasons based upon actions of individual police officers. But let's be honest, there's one line of defense to this crime right now, and that's the men and women of the police department who ought to feel, I think, more support from the communities, more support from individuals, that we've got their back. We've got to look at our laws. We've had a governor that's not really put together in spite of a crime issue, a real crime bill in Springfield that's creative and aggressive to try to address this problem in the city. And so we've got to bring the communities together with the police department in a much more aggressive way. People talk about community policing, fine. But we also all have to take responsibility for this problem. The people that are committing these crimes have to be held accountable. We have to enforce the laws aggressively against them. We have to continue aggressive policing on getting guns off these streets. It seems that everybody and their brothers got a gun today, illegally owned, and we ought to have a more aggressive action against guns and getting these guns. Police department does a great job, better than most cities, but it seems through lax gun laws, and we've talked about this nationally for way too long. You can go to Indiana and just about buy anything and come over here and use those guns. And we've got to find a way, and hopefully nationally, we will at some point address this crisis.
And there needs to be more cooperation, right, between the Indiana government and the Illinois government to make sure those borders aren't so porous. Speaking of the governor's office, as I am here, Rauner and Rahm Emanuel's relationship sort of fell apart in a big way. If J.B. Pritzker becomes the next governor, party affiliations and such seem to make that relationship a little easier. But if Rauner wins again, how are you going to make that relationship better?
Well, I would hope that the governor would realize, number one, Chicago is the economic engine of the state. This state does not have anywhere near the potential to be what they need to be and address their problems if Chicago falters, and he ought to admit that and have policies that acknowledges that. And I would hope if Rauner did win, which I don't expect him to do, he'll take a different tack than the wasted last 4 years. I mean, that was basically a waste. Nothing happened. Now, you know, he blames the Democrats. The Democrats blame him, blah, 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 blah. But come on, folks. Let's get together and try to figure out how to move forward and compromise. And I would hope that the governor, or if Rauner was reelected, which, again, I don't expect him to do, he'd have a totally different attitude about what governing is and a totally different attitude about the importance of Chicago to the economic viability of this state.
I look forward to talking to you again. You know how important WGN and the size of this audience is to your campaign, so let's do this often, and good luck on the run.
Steve, it's not only important to our campaign, it's important to the city of Chicago in general. So I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to coming on again.
All right, good luck. That's Bill Daley running for mayor. And doesn't that sound like Richie Daley? Well, if you want to do it, just do it.
It does.
Get in.
The one thing I will say about Bill Daley, which is different, is that he pronounces basically the right way.
Although
Rich Daley is a basic-y.
Yeah. Although he did say Evie.
Oh, yes.
For every instance. Okay. So Bill did say Evie.
You can take the Daleys out of Bridgeport, but you can't take the Bridgeport out of the Daleys. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes, so.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're going to ride, 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 ride till we fall.
Labor Cup is this weekend. Sandberg, you're a tennis head. What do I need to know?
Labor Cup is basically like Ryder Cup for tennis.
Well, that's great, and that's the high-quality, world-class tennis here in Chicago, where, as I've said many times, we ought to have a tour stop every year.
We desperately need a tour stop here.
So we're hoping that this will be the beginning of that. Steve Zaks joins us to talk a little bit more about this. Steve, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you being on. I'm sure you're excited about this, but I don't know that the public is fully aware of what's happening and if there are tickets still available. So who's coming in?
Yeah, so today we're going to be welcoming the players at Pritzker Pavilion at noon, and you can come on out and see Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, Alexander Zverev, John Isner from the USA, Jack Sock. 12 of the best players in tennis are here in Chicago to compete at the United Center Friday through Sunday, and tickets are still available.
All right, and tell me about one of the questions that always come up when you're putting an event like tennis in a big venue like the United Center. Do you like the sight lines? Do you like the seats? No matter where you're sitting, it's a good view?
It's a fantastic view. It holds 20,500 for tennis. We converted the United Center from a basketball and hockey arena into a tennis stadium, so there's beautiful views from everywhere. We have our distinctive black court. Fans will love it if they come out.
I saw our team captain, John McEnroe, Patrick McEnroe, and Chris Chelios were at Chicago Cut last night enjoying some of the things our city has to offer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
They're enjoying. Hey, Steve, I saw also, I think it was Djokovic was on this, hitting tennis balls with some kids yesterday, getting like
that's
some... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Novak was excited to come play the Laver Cup. Become teammates with Roger Federer and at the same time get involved in the community. So he had a hit with some kids at XS Tennis yesterday.
Steve,
he's really enjoying the city.
What's the format for the tournament? There's both singles and doubles, correct?
That's right. It's 3 days of tennis. It's much like the Ryder Cup of golf. It's Europe against the rest of the world, six players competing four matches a day. And by the end of the weekend, we have a winner of the Laver Cup. Last year, it was Europe, and this year, the world team
I was trying to get it back.
Since Roger Federer is one of the older guys, does he get to play less and sleep and get a nap in?
That's a great question. You know, last year he played three matches, two singles and one doubles. He was actually in the final match against young superstar Nick Kyrgios to determine the winner. So
Federer is ridiculous. I want you to cut Federer open and see what's actually making him tick, because there's no way at his age, with the miles he has on his legs, he ought to be able to do that. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, tennis, I think we've talked about this before. Tennis is really interesting right now with experience results in winning.
Yeah, the women's game has been running tennis for a long time, and rightfully so, with the Williams sisters and beyond. But men's tennis has really had a boost in the last couple of years. And like I said, I certainly hope this creates enough interest where Chicago gets a permanent tour stop.
Well, you know, we were excited to come here because tennis hasn't been here for 27 years. And we plan to make it a great experience.
Have a great weekend. And people want tickets or information, what's the website?
Okay, laborcup.com or Ticketmaster.
All right, man. Thanks for the time.
All right.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Steve Zaks.
Very cool. Have fun, man.
Used to be CMO at NetJets.
I think our friend Chris Zorich tweeted out a picture of Novak Djokovic hitting balls yesterday with the tennis team from Chicago State.
Oh, that's great.
Women's tennis.
I saw a ton of Roger Federer pictures on Instagram. Like a lot of friends are seeing him.
Our friend Candace Jordan ate a Barilla Pasta lunch with him yesterday.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What, does Candace miss anything?
Nope, she does not miss
everywhere.
I know.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Gazanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
It's 8:16, time now for Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Hey, Dean.
What's up?
Dean, can you hear me? Dean.
Hello there.
Over. Dean, over.
Good morning.
So, in this early award season,
yes,
all the way through the Oscars, there's a lot of people in show business with giant egos who are going to be talked about and receive awards.
And I get to talk to most of them. Lucky me.
Right. But my larger point is you and I won't be getting any of those awards.
No, not one.
So I think as a gift for show business, I think we should do the Moron Entertainment Awards.
Oh, great idea.
And the statue we could call a moron.
Right. Right.
You've won a moron.
Instead of an Oscar, you've won a moron.
Let's do a whole show. That's great.
So here's the thing. Is it generally stupid show business antics by celebrities, or
bad performances?
Is it bad performances, or is it just bad award show performances?
Can it be all? Can it be a categories?
Yeah,
like have 40 categories?
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's start putting this together.
Oh, I love it.
And let's start putting this together, I mean you guys.
Can I be an executive producer?
Yeah, you already are.
I don't do any work. But
what I mean with we need to have enough categories so the show can be about 5 or 6 hours once it's on the air.
That's a good point.
It has to be.
Make it nearly impossible. Not you need that much for people not to watch.
Ryan Seacrest just texted me. He wants to own it, so I'm going to make a deal with him at 10.
There's going to be a lot of long skits.
Hey, you know what? I just got a text from Dick Clark, which is amazing because he's been dead for a few years.
That's crazy.
He wants to own it.
That's more important than a Ryan Seacrest text.
I'm not sure if you said which day it is, but I'm busy that day.
You're busy that day?
Yeah.
On Moron Entertainment Award Day?
Oh, yeah.
That's unusual because you are floor director. Congratulations.
Yeah. And choreographer for the songs. And
we'll just bring in the guy who proposed. Wasn't he a guy who directs the Oscars?
Actually, you know what? I'm making Mary Vandeville a choreographer because she's the dancer on the show.
I'll do it.
You're the choreographer for our opening number where Dean and I dance for about 45 minutes until we drop.
It won't take that long.
I'll bring the paramedics.
I've already got two people in mind right now. You know how they had the proposal on the Emmys the other night? We can have a couple get on stage and divorce.
I like to accept this award, and also if my wife is here, it's over.
Yeah, applause dies down, and you know, one presenter turns to the other. You know what? I've always hated you. You make me sick.
Moron Entertainment, the award
nominees
show.
For
coming soon. All right, Julie Chen, Bert and Ernie, Javier Bardem. Common, Mandy Patinkin, and many more are all in your report today.
I've got some entertainment breaking news also.
Ooh.
Since the spontaneous note that I sent you a minute ago of topics. Hot breaking news.
Oh, you want to do it now before the break?
It's up to you. It's about Kelly Clarkson. That's all I'll tell you.
Oh, right, let's
now.
Hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it now.
After the break.
No, I love her.
All right, let's wait till after the break.
The break.
No, let's do it now. Now after the break.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Four tickets for the White Sox and the Indians Tuesday, September 25th.
Oh, thanks.
Last series of the year, Dean. Congratulations. You are going to be going to the game with Judy from Arlington Heights.
Oh, Judy, thank you.
If she asks you.
What?
Judy from Arlington Heights just won four tickets. In other words, Judy, two others, and Dean. Congratulations.
A lot of fun. We're going to the ball game, Judy.
Judy. He is great. He dozes off in the fifth. But, I mean, you know, he's up early. What can I tell you?
I bring my own peanuts.
Hey, we all love Kelly Clarkson, don't we? Quick poll. Kelly Clarkson, we all on board?
What's not to love?
She's great.
That's the greatest song.
That's the only song that I know.
She's great.
What's not to love? And, you know, she's been on that, what is it, The Coach? What's the voice?
The voice.
Exactly.
She was a coach on The Voice.
You know how much? Do you know how much the judges make on The Voice? Do you know the kind of money we're talking about? Between 10 and 15 million a year for two seasons. Two seasons. Each season, 6 to 8 weeks, 4 months work, 15 mil. Not bad.
Well, somebody must have shoveled a boatload of money for her to quit that job.
She quit?
Because she's off The Voice. She was replaced by John Legend on the show.
Oh, boy.
But the big news this morning is she's about to become a daytime talk show host.
Oh, she, interesting.
Hmm.
She is going to be replacing Steve Harvey's show that's called Steve.
Mm-hmm.
That Steve Cochran's still upset that he got.
I thought Steve Harvey should call it Harvey.
Yeah, exactly. So the Steve Harvey show, it will no longer be the lead-in to Ellen on NBC stations around the country.
Is it being canceled, or is it just not on NBC anymore?
I suspect that it's going to wind up, that Steve Harvey will wind up on other, you know, smaller stations.
Right. Everything goes to Fox.
Right.
Right.
But Kelly Clarkson will debut in the fall of 2019.
How do we feel about that? Will she be less delightful on a five-day-a-week basis?
Oh, I don't think. I think she'll be a great host. I've seen her interact. You've seen a lot of interviews with her, Dean.
Yeah,
she's a great talker, and she's really relatable. She's been really open about her weight struggles and things like that, and people really gravitate toward that.
So she's the white Oprah.
She's a real person. Yeah. Yeah, she is an awesome mother-in-law.
There you go.
Now, I'm not reading this from a press release or anything, Steve, but I'm guessing that the show is going to be a weekday brunch party with guests, surprises, humor, heart, music, and remarkable stories.
Wait, they're going to have humor?
I am not reading that.
You didn't tell me humor. Humor's in there.
Surprises, humor, and heart.
I always love when the word humor goes in. You know when humor appears in a press release? It's from somebody who's never said anything funny in their entire life.
Hey, I'm all for a brunch party. Let's do that. I'll watch that leading into my nap. That's ideal.
Oh, that's your nap.
You know what they should call that show, Dean? They shouldn't call it Kelly. They should call it Template.
This goes with my theory that one day every man, woman, and child on the planet Earth will have a daytime talk show.
Chicago A-listers in the news. But first, Julie Chen. She's done?
She quit the talk show called The Talk on CBS yesterday. She's been off the show for a while now since her husband, Les Moonves, was basically kicked out of CBS for sexual assault allegations. She has been supportive of her husband, but, you know, on this talk show where they talk about daily issues, she hasn't been there when they've been talking about the subject of sexual assault because it's one that directly affects her family. So she has decided to leave the show. She says that she needs to devote more time to her husband and her son. She will continue on Big Brother, but no longer on the show yesterday. And the other hosts, the co-hosts on the show, all were pretty emotional about her leaving yesterday.
Hmm. Seems like the right thing to do.
Apparently, Steve is also very emotional about that.
No, I mean, I heard the audio. I feel badly for her. She's in the middle of a mess.
Right, exactly.
You know, just because you're rich and famous doesn't mean you don't hurt, Dean.
You're telling me.
So
it's so good that somebody's sticking up for the rich and famous.
Yeah, thanks, exactly. Steve. You got it. Bert and Ernie, I love the response to this. The internet went crazy with Bert and Ernie. Are they gay? Are they not gay? This has only been around for about 30 years.
Yeah, it's been a decades-long controversy. But in an interview the past couple of days, the guy who used to write the characters for Sesame Street, his name is Mark Saltzman, said that he always thought of them as a loving couple. He said, without a huge agenda, he always thought of them as a loving couple and used his own relationship as an inspiration for them. Sesame Street Workshop, who owns Bert and Ernie and all of those characters, said that they were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. But they also added, they remain puppets. They do not have sexual
right.
orientation.
That is the best. When they go, knock, knock, knock. Hey, they're puppets.
That said,
that's tremendous.
They are bachelor puppets who have lived together for 40 years mm-hmm. now, sleeping in the same bedroom but in separate beds.
Hey, Dean, I wonder if Dave knows if they ever did anything like that puppets do sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Dave,
you're in D.C.
Avenue Q type things for Bert and Ernie.
You know, naughty things.
You mean naughty?
That's what I'm talking about.
Sassy?
I'm talking about your long-term relationship with J. Edgar Hoover and naughtiness.
Well, that was more cross-dressing.
Hey, didn't, speaking of puppets, didn't Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy get married? So what's that about? How's that different from Ernie and Bert?
Well, they got married and, you know, they lived happily ever after until Kermit cheated. Right. I don't know. I don't know what even it's about. They're puppets.
It's convenient. Bert and Ernie are common law puppets after living together for 40
different
years.
Companies.
But, I just want to know what Ernie's entitled to if Bert leaves.
Well, they've been together for 50 years. Leave them alone.
Exactly.
Naughty.
There it is.
Javier Bardem in the news.
This is the best. How many sighs have I gotten over the years telling you stories about the Kardashians? About
every time.
Kanye Kardashian.
Every time.
Anything having to do with... We just figured like every single person on the planet knows and are disgusted by the Kardashians. Last night on Conan O'Brien, they were talking about the Emmy Awards, and Javier Bardem was at the Emmys with his wife Penelope Cruz. But, you know, Conan was talking about how because Javier lives in Spain, he may not be familiar with some of the names that we're familiar with. Listen to this.
You live in Spain.
Yes.
Okay. And I found out recently that you really don't know most of the... Some of the celebrities that are...
Yeah,
that are,
like I saw yesterday someone called something like Kardashian, something like that, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
This is... You don't know who their Kardashians are.
I swear.
How do you not know who their Kardashians are?
Why should I?
Exactly.
Why should I?
I mean, have they invented any vaccine that I should know of?
No, I don't think they've invented a vaccine. There's literally 45 of them, and you don't know which. It's like there's a Zoe and a Glowy and a Moe and a Joey.
So you can collect them?
You can collect them, yes. They're collectible.
That's tremendous.
I love that.
That's tremendous.
Disrespectful to American pop culture.
All right, and you got a Manny Patinkin story, but I really want to hear the Common story.
Well, Common, we talked with both of them. They both have movies coming out. Common, you know, all over the place, doing different things all over the world. But when we sat down with them, of course, there is no place like home to Common.
Home is Chicago. I mean, that's always going to be home because home is where my heart is. But, I mean, I live in L.A., live in Brooklyn a little bit, but home is Chicago. It's certain experiences that, you know, and people that I have in Chicago that just define who I am. Yeah. I wouldn't be any of the elements that I am if I didn't have that.
So, you know, Chicago very near and dear to him. And we also talked with another Chicagoan, Mandy Patinkin, who we know from his music, who we know from his television shows and movies. He's in a movie called Life Itself that's coming up. Steve, pretty much all my life I have heard from friends of mine that I grew up with that we went to grade school with Mandy Patinkin.
You and Mandy.
And I don't remember him from grade school.
Okay.
So when I went to interview him the other day, before the camera started rolling, I asked him about it. We did go to the same grade school. We were a year apart, but we shared so much in common, including the ultimate Chicago connection. WGN Chicago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bozo Circus is on the air.
You are going to be incredibly bored with this whole thing.
Olivia. Yes, it's just so nice. But, it's a reunion.
Well, we're from the same neighborhood.
We are from the same neighborhood.
School.
And we went to the same grade school.
Yeah. Did he bully you?
Do you remember Mrs. Kehoe, the principal?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we grew up in the same South Shore neighborhood in Chicago. I lived at 81st and Colfax.
I lived at 81st and Crandon.
What?
No, 82nd and Crandon and 81st
blocks
and Phillips.
Away. We're blocks away from
8132 Phillips.
All this
you probably
time.
Played out together. And
I'm sure we must have played at Eckersall Park, right?
Eckersall Stadium.
Yeah. I'm sure we did all those things together. Then that's our time for the
thank you very much. And go see Life for Supper. You'll enjoy it.
It's the whole interview right there.
How great is that?
Two old guys reminiscing.
Are you sure there wasn't an annoying kid in your school that went around singing really loudly all the time?
I kind of remember that there was one kid who was like exceptionally great. You know, everybody was forced to sing in grade school and assemblies and that, but there was one kid who was always amazing.
It's a very cool thing.
And I remember from Boy Scouts there was one kid, but I don't remember him specifically, but all my friends say, of course, you know him. We did a lot of things together.
And, of course, he was the only kid who investigated serial killers.
right.
That was one of the things he did.
Maybe that's why I avoided him.
Dean, thanks for the work you're doing, and I know I'm glad to hear you're excited about Moron Entertainment Awards.
Hey, Steve, John Legend is replacing Jennifer Hudson, so Kelly Clarkson is still part
Kelly's
of the
Kelly's still okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in breaking news, this type of information can get cluttered.
Yeah, so.
Whew. So Jennifer Hudson's out. Well, that means she's back on Channel 9. She's in the studio with Dean right now. It's unbelievable.
We went to school together.
She was that one exceptional
Wait
kid.
All right, Matt, thank you. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. My estimations are correct. We should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Beautiful day in Chicago. If you haven't already taken the day off from work, start coughing at your desk right now. Make your way back to your car.
Too late for us.
Mention the words contagious and deadly and see how fast you can get out of work today. We're running out of great days, kids. If you've ever lied about being sick and leaving work, today would be the day to do it. Hey, by the way, I include all the people on this show.
Yeah, I got a thing.
Yeah.
And can we also say we're trying to get to the bottom of this voice debacle thing? The voice
website.
Well,
here's the thing. Dean had breaking news that said Jennifer Hudson.
Dean said Kelly Clarkson
was leaving. Out and John Legend was in. And then we got breaking news that said that wasn't the story.
Right. And the voice website still says Jennifer Hudson, Kelly Clarkson, Blake and Adam. It doesn't even mention John Legend. But
then news sites say John Legend is in.
Yeah, so.
These are the issues that are troubling America this
but
morning.
But Dean had a source that came from a press release. So this is actually
from
a press
the same
release.
Source that also has the John Legend news. So it's very
it's just
bizarre.
Convoluted.
Yeah. The timing on the press releases, which one came first?
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go Zapruder film on this.
I think John Legend's was 19 hours ago. Kelly Clarkson's, I think, was last night. So
was there a second judge behind the grassy knoll that we need to know about at this point?
Steve Cochran has all of your voice news every single morning here on WGN.
Speaking of entertainment, School of Rock is a very cool thing. Your daughter has been involved in this for how long?
Catherine does School of Rock for the last couple of years in the Evanston location.
Yeah, got a cool tie into that. We're going to talk about in just a second with some very nice people who made their way downtown. They're saying they're not very nice people. I say they're very nice people. And our friends at Blue Cross Blue Shield tipped us to this. So, it's a big family kind of thing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the School of Rock!
Who knew this Jack Black movie would turn into a way of life for so many people, right? How do you tie that into nonviolence? Nonviolence is not some fluffy concept that can't be attained. It is, in fact, a way of life as well, and we're happy to welcome to the studio. Amy Renzulli. Am I pronouncing that right, Amy?
Yeah, perfect.
Amy Renzulli, owner of the School of Rock in Oak Park, and also Tara Dabney, Director of Development Communications for the Institute for Nonviolence Chicago. Let me start with you, Tara. What's the website there?
It's www.nonviolencechicago.com.
Before we talk,
I'm sorry.
Before we talk about the concert and the cool things School of Rock's doing for you guys, this is obviously a year-round, 365-day proposition. So how do people help you immediately?
So people can donate. One of the things that we need most is to be a sustainable organization. They can come volunteer with us, come out and meet us, see what we're doing, and understand how to live a nonviolent lifestyle. We provide nonviolence trainings all over the Chicagoland area. We would be happy to talk about it to anyone.
And Bill Daley, who wants to be the mayor of Chicago, right, on last hour, talking about a plan for dealing with violence in the neighborhoods in Chicago. I didn't hear one. You know, I heard some general ideas, and frankly, that's what we've heard from a lot of politicians. Do you get frustrated that you don't hear more specific ideas, or is it tough to get to specifics with a problem this big?
You know, I think it is tough to get to specifics, but that's what we're doing every day. So we're out in the street responding to violent incidents that are happening, and really trying to teach people about nonviolence and build a community of nonviolence throughout Chicago. There is a citywide effort going on right now where 9 of the most violent neighborhoods are having nonviolence intervention, address the violence happening in those neighborhoods through street outreach, doing mediation.
Well, this is what the people in the neighborhoods want. They just want a normal life.
Right. I mean, people are normal people. We just have to reinvest in all of our communities.
Right.
We have to see.
Doesn't matter what color you are.
Together, right?
Doesn't matter how much money you have.
No. Doing victim services.
What is interesting about this is it's a philosophy. Right. Nonviolence, and it never really gets brought up in the public sphere. You don't hear it from people who are running for office or in office, and you rarely hear it from the press. But this is a movement and a philosophy about really living a nonviolent lifestyle. Explain.
Right. So it is one of the first principles that we talk about is nonviolence is for courageous people, right? So it is speaking out against violence in a way that is still nonviolent. So you're saying, this is not okay with me, but I will not respond violently. I will listen. We will all work together to build the beloved community. And we are all a part of that beloved community, not just those of us that live in a particular area. It's everyone. Only you can take yourself out of that beloved community. But we believe there's always a way back in. It's important to celebrate that. It's important to understand that we have to attack the forces of evil, right? So poverty and violence and the things that are going on without attacking people. So we have to still love and support people.
So do it without retaliation.
Right. Nonviolence starts with love. I mean, that's the big thing, is we are all trying to build this beloved community. It's important to celebrate that. Celebrate those little successes. We hear about the negative all the time. If you come out to Austin, if you come out to West Garfield Park or Back of the Yards, you can see some exciting celebrations of some great nonviolent activities going on.
The third annual Concert Across America to End Gun Violence is this Saturday at 6 p.m. Amy, you own School of Rock in Oak Park. This is a great way for kids who love music to get deeper into music. But how are you tied to the concert specifically?
It started as pretty much a grassroots effort with a local nonprofit called the Veltway Collective, which supports music and arts. They raise money for scholarships and promote the music that's happening in our communities and the School of Rock. And when I think about this relationship between the concert and the Institute for Nonviolence, the thing that gets me most excited is the concept of building community.
Sure.
So at the concert, you will see all ages, people from Oak Park, River Forest, the Austin community, Elmwood Park, you know, just draw a circle around where we are and brings everybody together. The music is very diverse. We'll have hip-hop, R&B, rock and roll.
Spoken word,
yeah. So it really is, to me, it's kind of reflecting the community that I want to be a part of through music and through this event.
Sarah.
One of the common themes of a lot of areas with violence is the lack of opportunity or alternatives for kids. And we always talk about sports. We don't talk as much about arts bringing an alternative to give kids something to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely, right.
Because the more they're involved in arts and things like that, the less you might be likely to have idle time on the street, finding yourself in trouble.
So when we first opened, we are literally like 3 blocks from Austin Boulevard, and Oak Park is a very diverse community. And private music lessons are very expensive. And I didn't want to open a country club, a place that only rich people could go to. I wanted it to be for everyone, and I wanted anyone who wanted to be there, anyone who is a musician in their soul, needs to be able to be there.
So how do you make that work as a business?
We raise money for scholarships all the time. And now that we've just gotten so big, we still raise money for scholarships, but we also just absorb people
You know, we were just Pete and I were just talking about this morning the story that's in the news about Kanye West moving back to Chicago, and the story that he showed up at the Harold Washington Library on Monday night for the open mic that Chance the Rapper does, and the idea that these kids are influenced or inspired by one of the biggest musicians in the world, that it does show how music can bring a community together and inspire people to do something else. Is that also part of what we're doing here, the idea of introducing arts and music to kids to give them something to be inspired about, something that, that can lead to positive outcomes in their life?
Either one of you, jump in.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it is. I think one of the things that a lot of the young men tell us when they are coming to our programming is that they're interested in music. We even talked about trying to find a way to open a studio. We're hoping to move into a larger space to provide more opportunities. And Amy has been great about allowing us, you know, several of our participants also go to the School of Rock. And some of them are singing. For instance, one of the women in our support group who's lost a son to violence, one of the songs will be about her son.
Wow.
And she comes every year to this event and is a big supporter.
Well, in any opportunity you get to take a kid from a troubled situation and get him off the street and get him into something that shows him a different path, you've changed a life. So you got to be proud of that.
We're hoping that people will donate, purchase tickets for members of our community to be able to attend, who might not be able to afford to attend. So participants of the Institute for Nonviolence, or you know, people from the Austin, West Garfield, or our local coworkers can attend this event. That would be great if people are interested in doing that.
Well, I hear all the time, too, from people in the suburbs that go, I can't believe this is going on. I don't know what to do.
Right.
Well, here's something you could do. Buy a ticket and come this weekend.
Or you don't have to come. They can buy a ticket for somebody who can't afford it.
Sponsor somebody else by paying for
their
tickets.
Yeah.
So it's great. School of Rock website for you guys? Would you like me to do it for you? Oakpark.schoolofrock.com?
Yeah, oakpark.schoolofrock.com.
Don't worry about it. You're not the marketer. You're the artistic director. Oakpark.schoolofrock.com. And Tara Dabney, we're going to need to talk more about what you guys do all the time. Director of Development Communications for the Institute of Nonviolent Chicago. Your website again
is www.nonviolentchicago.org.
And then I know you have a couple sponsors. ICOM, is that how you say that?
Yes.
And the McCormick Foundation.
Yes.
And your MC is Aisha Oliver.
Yes.
So thank you to
them. Kinslager and the Oak Park Brewing Company are donating the beer, and Carnivore is bringing the food truck.
Justin plays the pan flute in the nude. I don't know if you're interested in that. But,
it's just something I do on the side, so yeah. If interested.
Yeah, I mean, to think about it, you know, it's not like we're trying to, yeah.
You know, it's just
not fair to ask you on the spot like this.
Right, it's eclectic. Right.
There's videos online. I suggest you not look at them.
We'll post that and link it on our socials.
So. Not Justin.
Not Justin,
no.
The event.
Can I do it now?
Great to see you both. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And again, for the School of Rock folks, Oakpark.schoolofrock.com. They've already turned me down, so you know what, they're doing some good things over there. It's 9:01. CLTV with us today?
Yes.
CLTV is with us. Yay! And we'll come back with the final hour of the program in a second, too, on 720 WGN. The newsroom is where Steve Grzanich sits. That's the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. More stories that matter coming up on WGN Radio. We continue. Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN. President Trump is touring the North Carolina flood disaster zone today. So you'll see a lot of that video later. Have we gotten to the bottom of the great controversy of last hour, and that's what judges are on The Voice and what judges are off?
I have not been able to confirm. The Voice is not answered yet. The Voice's website is still reflecting.
We know it's Simon Cowell, and we know it's...
Thinking, you know,
Paul Abdul.
You know what's interesting is you're close to the right network.
I know, right?
Yeah, sort of.
Right.
So we know that Adam Levine,
and Blake Shelton.
And Blake Shelton, they're always there.
Yeah. They
you cannot get rid of those two.
Yeah, well, that's where the money is. So.
The two in the middle are the question right now.
Yes. Okay. And so the website, The Voice's website, The Voice's Twitter, everybody, it says September 25th is the debut or whatever, and it says Jennifer Hudson and Kelly Clarkson.
And there's a adorable, a word I use often, promo running where they're talking about being on each other's team. Mm. And Blake Shelton goes, it's not a sleepover. you know, it's The Voice. Apparently, that promo is no longer in play if Jennifer Hudson or Kelly Clarkson, one or the other, is off.
Right, and if John Legend is in the mix, but we don't know yet. This is like one of the reality shows I do not watch, so that's why.
Yeah, this is where we need you, Mary.
Yeah,
this is,
I know, and this is the one I don't watch.
So we have three judges, two seats. When the music stops,
right.
Whoever's sitting stays on the show.
I purposely don't watch The Voice because I know that Mary's got that covered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that she's not watching it, we're all lost.
Hey, America's Got Talent final is tonight.
No.
I'll tell you that.
Pinch me.
Hey, you know what they call, the kids call that AGT, just saying.
Yes,
that.
It is. Uh-huh.
Lou Manfredini.
I didn't think you guys would understand.
Lou Manfredini texting in, Kelly Clarkson and Jennifer Hudson are in the middle. I'm not sure. So,
is that the sitcom on ABC, The Middle? Now they're on The Middle? Yeah, yeah. What is happening?
We won't. The most amazing thing about this story to me is 24 hours later, NBC doesn't update their website.
Yeah, so...
It seems like the web kid for NBC would have come to work today.
The web kid.
I don't know.
So stay tuned. This will be a story that drags out. Maybe this is like how Justin doesn't like when Amazon Prime Day is in the news because it just draws attention to Amazon. It's like free advertising.
Mm. It's like
maybe
Kmart's got a sale.
This is a draw to The Voice.
Did you catch what Justin was upset about this morning?
I did. Oh,
he really was angry about the United Airlines app.
I'm not downloading an app where I already have the
you
information
kids
in other
in your
places.
Apps.
It was this real curmudgeon-y stand he's taking against
convenience. Everyone else tells me, download an app.
Take
I don't need
your
an app. I don't need the app.
Get out of my yard.
And really, it stems from he is still sitting on an iPhone 4 because he doesn't want to pay to upgrade.
No, right.
And that's why he's not downloading apps.
So I downloaded the United app. They just sent me $500 just for doing it.
Just for doing it.
Right. You know, well, but don't take the time,
right,
Justin.
Sure,
don't
sure.
worry about it.
I'll bet.
Our friend Ann Johnsos is got something going this week. I wanted to mention it's this, her latest book, or her book, Potty Mouthed. Big Thoughts from Little Brain. She's going to do a reading of it and sign copies of it at the Crystal Lake Country Club Thursday at 2. It's a benefit in part to support the Syntegra Auxiliary. Well, I've spoken to those folks before. Very nice group. And Syntegra Auxiliary, now part of Northwestern Medicine. And if you haven't already gotten a copy of Potty Mouth, go out and buy five or six. At 9:19, the other day, we were all at... Were we all at the golf hunting?
Me, you, and Dave were there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
not,
right. You don't play golf.
I was
golf.
Not invited.
You were too busy not downloading apps. Saw my pal Elliot Fromm there, who, again, is giving away stuff. He has no concept how to run a business. All he does is do artistic things and give it away. And he's got a cool thing coming up we're going to talk about.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now, go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe.
We've officially reached the point where we have too many TVs in the studio. One of the monitors is showing the KTLA Los Angeles morning show.
That's strong. We got to know what's happening in the Orange County area.
If I only had a real job. Thanks again, CLTV, for being with us. And say hi to Elliot Fromm, who's here. Elliot and I are old pals. We go way back to when we were in the war together. Remember the big one?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When did you start painting?
I started painting when I was 5 years old.
And when did you realize you were good?
Still going, right? Yeah.
Did somebody tell you that you respected? Did you have a Tony Fitzpatrick type in your life?
No, not at all. I kind of go on my own. I am just my own critic.
But somewhere along the way, it had to become clear you could make money doing it, at least support your life and do all that.
Yeah. I was first a graphic designer and a creative director, so I made that money that way.
Oh, I didn't know that. You're an ad agency guy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I started in publishing and did consumer magazines and B2B magazines.
I think most people now know you for the incredible sports work that you do. What's the best way to describe, you know, the Blackhawk stuff or any of the stuff you've done?
Well, I do performance painting. So
performance
it's based on 11 years now performing with my company, Artbeat Live, and we go out and we perform at galas and corporate events, and like we just saw each other at the Hawks outing.
I see you at everything.
Yeah. So we go out and we perform live and I perform paintings and we raise money for charity.
And what's the perfect song to paint to?
Oh, God. There's so many.
It's not Chelsea Dagger.
Well, for the Hawks, it's Chelsea Dagger, yeah. But it's so hard to get a song organized and create in a way that the audience will recognize it or love it.
Well, we had several pieces, and we still do, several pieces of your work around WGN, and I think TV does as well. And describe it to, like, if an artist is listening now, how do you describe what you do stylistically?
I do expressionist performance painting. So all my paintings are kind of expressionist.
Okay.
And there's like a surprise at the end because he's painting the whole time and you're like, what is that? It just looks like splattery mess. But then he like spins it over, and you're like,
"Yes,
it's the Chicago Bears logo or something."
The move, like, the Elliot, we call it.
The move. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You've done so much, you know, as a performance painter in your career, but you are moving on to a new company, Love Art Shoes. It's so interesting because shoes, you don't necessarily think the layman will think about shoes and art, but it's a huge industry, a huge. I'll see people standing in line for hours to be able to get a designer shoe. There's a lot of art that goes into shoe production these days.
Yeah, there's a new, you know, e-commerce is big, and over the last couple months, I was talking with my beautiful partner, Trish, and we were wondering what could we do more to give back in regards to artwork, because I've noticed, you know, not everybody has thousands of dollars to plop down on a piece of art of mine. So what can I do to give back to the community involving my artwork and giving back? So we developed Love Art Shoes, LUVArtShoes.com, and it's my artwork on pretty reasonably priced, you know, shoes, slip-ons, high tops, and I keep
sell them all through the website?
We sell them through the website, and we're kind of based ourselves on new you, a new hues, and color your soul. And we're just all about giving back, and we're trying to teach people to give back because people think of working with charities as giving money, and I don't think that. So with my company, of course, I'd love you to buy a pair of my shoes, but we've teamed up with soulsforsouls.org. And
great organization.
Great organization. So we've teamed up with them with their Women for Women campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love for people to go on my website, buy a pair of my shoes, but also go to their own closet, get a pair of gently used shoes, go to Zappos.com, download a free shipping label, and you can pack up your shoes, ship them out to Souls for Souls, and you can go on my website, download all our donor form. We'll have all our information on there, tax receipt for write-offs, and you can ship our shoes down there. And our shoes will be taken to another country so women can actually sell them and make money.
And you can design on the website, then, the type of thing you're looking for?
It's all my design. I am coming out with an app that will have you personally design your own, but you can actually contact me, and I will design your shoe for you.
Right. You can say, I'm looking for this colors, color scheme kind of thing?
Totally.
And how does it work from going from a canvas of, what, 4 feet by 4 feet to a pair of shoes?
Oh, it's incredible. So actually, it's fun because I've taken my paintings. I do a lot of abstract paintings, so I zoom in on my paintings, and they kind of create these really cool patterns on the shoe. So
that's
kinda
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You can just move your artwork around the shoe, and it's kind of nice.
How many pair do I have to own to get a full Elliot? You know, like an equivalent of a full Elliot painting. How many pair of shoes is it?
That's a lot. That's funny. I should do a painting of that. Yeah.
You know, as a painter, do you have a lot of experimenting that goes into this? Like, you notice certain patterns or certain hues and certain colors don't work on a shoe?
It's funny. I get in arguments with my partner, and she, you know, we have two totally different views on what it is, and I'm totally loud and obnoxious with my colors, you know, and she's kind of a little bit more subdued and kind of looking at the real world of, nope, they're not going to wear that. I'm like, but I like this loud, bright magenta color, you know.
It's ridiculous for you and I to continue to talk about shoes when Sandberg and Mary Vandeveld are here, so chime in.
The other thing you have are those drawstring bags. I know.
Yes.
Everybody does. You don't go anywhere now, a festival, or like our kids use them, the smaller bag that's not quite a full backpack, right. But I can see you have cool designs for that as well. Drawstring bags.
That are new ones we just put up there, bags and kind of every little thing you can get, you know.
Right. So, but as a woman, you're looking for a cool pair of shoes. What are you looking for?
Well, it depends on my mood. I like something. I always would pick something in the blue category. So I'd be searching for blue because I have mostly blue, gray, black, and white clothes.
Do you have blue? Do you do anything in blue?
Mm-hmm.
You have blue?
I can see blue right here. Yeah. They're comfortable, too.
They are very comfortable.
Yeah, so it's not a...
Yeah.
I will suffer for a cute pair of shoes, even if it's not comfortable, but it's nice to know I can wear these ones to work.
It's generational, though, isn't it? Like Mary Vandeveld, you're a year or two older than Mary Sandberg. Will you suffer for shoes, or are you done with those days?
No, I've had 2 foot operations, so no. But I would wear these. These are so much fun. I love the fun shoes. How do you care for them, though? Elliot, can you wash them?
You can throw them in the wash, yeah.
I dump crap out, you know, you always spill something.
Yeah, they're similar to, for those, like a Converse kind of look-ish, if people aren't looking at the
website.
Oh,
so you can wash them, you're not going to ruin the paint?
No.
Wow.
Oh, no, they're printed on there.
Oh, okay.
No, these are actually printed. I take my original artwork and other designs I come up with, and they're actually printed on the shoes. So the shoes do take a while to come in because they're each made to order. So it's kind of nice.
Could you do dogs playing pool on a pair of 11 and a halves for me?
We can do that. Yeah. Okay.
Be kind of interesting.
But it is cool to have the unique shoe. I know like Nike does that where you can pick your shoe, and then everyone says, you know, where'd you get that? Well, I made it myself. You know, we all think we're so cool. So
absolutely.
I walked into a store yesterday after getting my new business cards, and I walked into a store, and the guy goes, I literally like your shoes. Well, I just got my new business cards for the company. Here you go.
Perfect timing.
It perfect timing.
Paid off, right?
But the great thing is, this Saturday night we're having our first shoe drive.
Okay.
At my gallery in Buffalo Grove, Artbeat Gallery. So this Saturday night from 7 to 10:30, we'd love you to come into the gallery, see some new paintings of mine, but also bring a pair of shoes to donate.
That's great. Sounds like a fun time for a Saturday night.
Art, wine, and giving. Yep.
Yeah, no question about it.
You know what would be nice about this for you, Steve?
What's that?
Because it would be less likely for you to wear two different shoes.
That's a great point.
That's right? A good
point. You could tell them apart, unlike what you normally do.
On two occasions in the last 5 years here since I came back, I wore two different shoes to work.
He's also he would be happy to know that there is a slip-on version because you fancy
the
no tie.
Yeah.
Oh, and if we can, for the next five callers.
Yeah.
We can give them a free pair of shoes. So we just need their information.
Come on, for real?
Yeah, for real. Need their information, give them to your producers, and we'll have them go on the website.
All right, Super Joe, the next five callers, we just need their information. What do you need, email? Or
we need email, phone number.
All right, email, phone number, social security number, and last year's income.
There you go.
If you could, and you'll send them a pair of shoes.
And even better for all the WGN listeners, if you do go to the store today, type in WGN20 for your 20% off.
Nice. Yes.
There you go.
Look at you.
And what's the website again?
LoveArtShoes.com. LoveArtShoes.com.
And I think it's cool that you're doing stuff for kids, too.
Yeah.
Any size?
The kid sizes are a little different depending on the shoe I have.
Okay. But you got everything from high tops to slip-ons for them as well.
High top slip-ons. I've just started doing skateboarding shoes.
What if Abigail and I had matching shoes? How cool would that be, huh?
That would be cute.
Right?
I've never seen granddaughter matching
Pops
shoes.
Pops and Abigail with matching shoes? Come on. Trendsetters. All right. So, again, Saturday night. Get the plug in.
Saturday night at Artbeat Gallery in Buffalo Grove, we're having our shoe drive, Art, Wine, and Souls.
And it's loveartshoes.com.
Yep.
L-U-V.
L-U-V, thank you. And all the links for the other partners we talked about are up there as well. Mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Good Thanks for having me.
L.A. From. Headlines next, 720 WGN. All right, 9:44. That music means Rokan is somewhere near. Right? Is he coming in? Wasn't Rokan coming in today?
He was last-minute change. He is now on the ISDN. He's on one of those Steve Alexander
buttons.
You
couldn't be bothered to come in? What's your problem?
I've got a very important information back at the Bat Cave that I need to handle.
So you overslept?
No, I'm working on a big presentation for tomorrow. And
hold on a second. Yeah. You and I do the same job.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have big presentations. What are you talking about?
I got a corporate gig. You know, you never know when something's going to happen.
Is this your backup plans finally revealed?
No, these guys called me. It's one of these big, you know, like industrial things,
right.
And
yeah.
You know, they want somebody to say something seems to like a bunch of people.
Seems like a really good idea when you say yes.
Do you?
My God.
The closer you get to the event, you go, what the hell am I doing?
Well, and then they sent me the check. And then I'm looking at the check, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to do something.
Are you coming out to We Built This City? A Starship Unlimited.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You get to put the mic on the ear kind of thing, and you wear the black turtleneck?
Yeah. I'm going to introduce my own version of a cellular phone to them. And I'm working on that. That's the big problem, Steve. I got to figure out how to build a cell phone.
It seems like you've taken on a good project, something that's perfect for you. Do you want to plug the people so at least they know you're working on it?
No.
I'm just checking. No. I want to play a piece of sound for you yesterday in case anyone's lost confidence in the American government as we know it. This is United States Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, who, by the way, we should say happy birthday to. He turned 209 yesterday.
Oh, that's so great.
In a comment he was making on CNBC on the limited effect additional tariffs taxes will have on the American consumer. Listen, as Wilbur talks now.
Well, you can do the numbers this way. If you have a 10% tariff on another $200 billion, that's $20 billion a year. That's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of 1% total inflation in the U.S. Because it's spread over thousands and thousands of products, nobody's going to actually notice it at the end of the day.
Wow. My favorite part.
Is he right?
No, of course he's not. Drive by a gas station. Go buy a sofa. Those things are already have gone up 30 and 40%. Of course you're going to feel it. Of course you're already feeling it. Thank you, Wilbur.
Well, Wilbur was just awakened from his coma right before he made that
statement. Well, what's funny is the CNBC guys, who of course deal in money all day, they looked at each other like, what the hell did he say? What?
Well, isn't it interesting because, you know, Kudlow would have been on CNBC saying, what are you, crazy?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And now, and it seems like a good idea because the president likes it, even though it's not what Republicans really want. You know, it's funny. I was encountered a couple of weeks ago by a person who's like, I just don't understand, you know, the longtime listener of mine. And they were like, you know, you're just not giving any room for conservatives on the show. And I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, I have nothing but conservatives and Republicans
right.
who are talking about what's going on here, because it's just because I don't happen to believe that Trump is actually a conservative.
Of course he's not.
He's just close. A populist. And I get what he's doing. I mean, we all get what he's doing. We can see him. And it's self-serving. It does go to his... These are his core beliefs, but these have not been the core beliefs of the Republican Party or conservatives or economists who, you know, remember the tragedy of the 1930s in America. I mean, that's kind of where we're heading here.
And you need to remember the absolute centerpiece of all of this, and that is... He didn't want to be president. He didn't believe he would be president until about midnight on election night.
Somebody's reading the Stormy Daniels book.
No. Bob Woodward. I got a call. I think you and I talked about this, Ro. I got a call the next day from someone talking about the tears in the room when they realized he was going to win.
Yeah.
In the room, Trump was in.
Yeah.
Because none of them were ready. They had no operation. They didn't expect to win.
All right, let me be the devil's advocate here.
You want to talk to Bob Woodward?
Always, yeah, exactly.
Were you and Woodward
chasing
the same sources?
If this was a priority to Trump to fix the trade deficits with the EU, with China, to what he thinks is fair or unfair practices to the United States and the United States businesses, this is how he, as a businessman, sees a way to break a cycle that has been unfair to America.
May I ask a question here,
yes.
though? Can I just go back to the main premise that the deficits are unfair? The trade deficits, by their very nature, are not unfair. They don't necessarily have to be necessary or unnecessary. They just are what they are, and you have a choice. It's not a zero-sum game. We're not losing money to China. We are making money in China.
Right.
China is making money on us, but the Chinese consumer is buying more we're buying more of their stuff than they are buying of our stuff. That's a consumption question in America.
But doesn't the correlation mean if you can change the way that the country is or the world, the global economy is working in the way that it favors the United States, so more jobs come back to the United States? Isn't that part and parcel of what Trump ran?
Working in the United States? Are we having a problem here?
There are a lot of people that say it's been a problem for decades.
Who've been told it's a problem.
Right.
But the reality is, it isn't a problem. The United States economy is still the strongest in the world. It's gigantic. This has nothing to do with trade tariffs that our unemployment rates are low.
Well, and this just isn't a cash game. Trade and trade deficits are leveraged to keep America safe and to do the other things we want to do in the world. And there's no understanding of that in the White House.
Damn right. What's wrong with you, Justin?
I'm the setup guy, and then you can.
Were you the other guy in the room with Brett Kavanaugh? Are you Mike Judge, or is that the guy that did the cartoons?
Oh man! What if it is? Oh, is it? I want to go the other way now. Do you mind if I go the other way?
Go ahead.
I know this is making me very unpopular with the ladies around me, but
you're already unpopular with the ladies.
It's really true. This Kavanaugh situation is, I'm not a gigantic fan of having him on the Supreme Court, but I like a center right country. I don't like the country to lurch to the right, completely, especially in the judiciary. But okay, so whatever that happens to be. But just as a case here, I'm really uncomfortable. This is a 36-year-old allegation, and the woman can't identify when or where it happened.
Then let the FBI investigate it.
Well, how does the FBI investigate that, then?
I don't know. They investigate it. Investigate stuff.
No,
we
just talked about this morning. Here's the jurisdiction. It is an unfinished background check on Kavanaugh until it's finished. They can literally reopen the file on that premise because they didn't have this information before.
Okay, so they could have a field agent be at her house in an hour, mm-hmm. right? Let's give her some time to get out. It's only 7:53 in on the West Coast. Come in, talk to her, find out what's any details that she could possibly remember from that moment. Then they can. I would say that this is something they could do within 2-3 days. I know I'm not an investigator, but if they want to do that as part of the background investigation, right. It's one thing. To get that done and be thorough and complete,
it doesn't
seem like
but the vote
a political
have to,
move here.
Well, it's political on both sides.
Republicans played politics with Merrick Garland and other, right? I get it. But I didn't like that.
No.
And so how do I like this?
Well, look, the bottom line is we live in a world where everybody ought to be heard, and she ought to be heard. And if she's wrong or lying, she's going to pay a bigger price for that than she already has. And this vote does not have to take place next week, and the hearing doesn't have to happen on Monday.
Well, and the resolution might be that we never know.
Right.
They both.
And that favors Kavanaugh.
Yeah,
I think that's likely that we'll
know. The only issue I have, and I mentioned
this. Well, we have no more time for any more issues.
All right.
And because if I go to one more issue, Joe's head's going to explode, and he's going to kill everyone in this room. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That's Ro Khanna, and we're back in a moment. We believe we finally figured this out. Kelly Clarkson is replacing Lester Holt on NBC Nightly News. That's the ultimate answer.
But not this year, next year.
Next year.
In 2024.
Amongst the stories we have not been able to get to today, chairs that attach to your pants so you can walk around an office and sit anywhere you
want. Strong. I've been looking for that.
It's a good call.
Walter E. Smith needs to get into that game.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand. That's next. Bill and Wendy as well. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's where Steve will be, and we're here on WGN Radio and CLTV. Bill and Wendy are here, and we'll be back tomorrow to solve all these problems that we've started and problems that we've addressed.
Is Kelly Clarkson replacing you as the host of the show? Because I just
I
saw.
Wish. I mean, I love you, but I
Kelly
love
Clarkson's
her more.
Kelly Clarkson.
You know, it's weird. I love Kelly Clarkson more than me.
Yeah.
No, we just heard. You were walking in. You didn't know. Kelly Clarkson's replacing Lester Holt.
Oh, really?
That's
a good move.
And all they're doing is positive stories.
You're big into Kelly Clarkson, huh?
I love her.
We have a new show. We figured this out off the air. It's Oprah, Wendy, and Kelly Clarkson. It's TV, radio, and music.
I want to hang with them. They would love me. We'd be the best posse ever.
You'd be tight. The three of
Wendy
you.
Said that she agreed Kelly Clarkson is the white Oprah, and then she also said she herself is the white Oprah.
Well, that's what I strive to be.
Wendy is
but
the
you're
white
willing
Oprah.
To give up white Oprah status to Kelly Clarkson?
In a second.
Okay. Okay.
Did you see Wendy's license plate that says White Oprah, and the last couple letters are really small because they
did not.
Don't have that many spaces?
But I remember when Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom chased down the White Oprah.
Oh, what an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Marlon Perkins.
Kelly Clarkson should just focus on someone like Rachel Ray before she gets to Oprah level.
Yeah, build up to
Oprah. Yeah, you haven't even
she's
started
already
yet.
Way above.
She's got to get to Rachel Ray.
Byron Allen at some point.
Byron Allen, right. Coming up.
Get a little acronym, EVOO or whatever.
Back when we were children and Real People was on and Byron Allen was a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd turn out to be a mogul?
No.
That shocks me.
He bought the Weather Channel.
I know.
He's very wealthy.
Where'd he get the money?
I don't know.
Interviewing all those
30-second celebrities.
Right.
Skip Henderson gave him a loan back in the day.
Skip Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Yeah.
Skip Henderson wasn't available, and Skip Stevenson's dead.
Who else was it? John Davidson?
He was on Real People.
Right. Real People. Right.
Sarah Purcell.
Yeah. Hey, we'll figure this out tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
We've just been told Kelly Clarkson was working with those guys back in the 70s as well. She has a zygote. See you tomorrow.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates. Not that kind of goat.
Oh, sorry.